Okay, brethren, if you're still there, if you're not, well, I guess I'm speaking to myself. But what we said last, well, probably a year or two back, was from time to time we take the opportunity to look at what's happening out there in the world, probably in two areas. One would be the Vatican and the Pope and so on, and one would be perhaps Germany and the developments there. Well, today we're just looking at the Pope, Pope Francis. Pope Francis just finished his first 100 days in office. He was elected as the new Pope back in the 13th of March, so I guess it's not a bad time to say, okay, what, if anything, do we learn after his first 100 days? And probably, to be fair, not a huge amount. Pope Francis is the 266th Pope, as far as their count goes. He's interesting in a sense because he's the first non-European Pope in 1,200 years. Typically, they're, because Italian, the last one was German. He's also, strangely, the very first ever Jesuit to become Pope. And strangely enough, the predecessor, Pope Benedict, was the first Pope in 600 years to resign. So there's a few strange things about the circumstances leading up to Pope Francis and his arrival. The extra interest, in a sense, in Pope Francis is because of the prophecies of Malachi. Now, that's not Malachi, as in the Bible, but the Irish prophet Malachi, who prophesied way back around about 1100 or thereabouts, and who, or at least it's believed, his prophecies date back to that time. And he prophesied there'd be 112 popes until the end. And at the end of 112 popes, it's over. And it'll be the end of the world and the time of the great judgment. And, of course, the interesting thing is that Pope Francis is the 112th. So if there's anything in Malachi's prophecies, I'm not saying there is, it'd be hard to imagine them being that accurate, but, you know, some people think they are, then Pope Francis is the final pope in the list of popes that Malachi prophesied. And the Catholic Encyclopedia, quoting Bishop Malachi, says, talking about the final one, it says, in the final persecution of the Holy Roman Church, there will reign Peter the Roman, who will feed his flock amid many tribulations, after which the seven-hill city, that'd be Rome, will be destroyed, and the dreadful judge, the capital J, will judge the people, the end. So the final pope is supposed to be called Peter the Roman, and some people think, well, maybe that's really a sort of a title rather than his name, and so there's some debate over that. But here we have Pope Francis, who is the 112th in Malachi's prophecies, and if Malachi is at all right, then this pope is the one who will coincide with the end of the age, the tribulation, and the great judgment. Maybe. So 100 days have elapsed. What can we say about this pope? Well, he's initially his style has been quite interesting. Most popes tend to be pretty self-important. They are, after all, you know, the emperor virtually of the Roman Church, and they tend to dress in the very finest of garb, keep themselves very much to themselves, rather isolated, super important, and so on. This guy is very different. He's very simple. Very simple lifestyle. He stays in a hotel, not in the private papal apartments. He talks a great deal about being poor, wanting a poor church. He seems to be a man of the people, and he's impressing quite a lot, being a very gentle, prayerful, polite, and very nice guy. Whether that will stay that way or not, I don't know. I figured out there's four things we can look at, four different areas where he has shown some interesting thoughts. One is he does have an ecumenical focus. An ecumenical focus, in other words, he's trying, or seems very interested in bringing all religions together. That looks like it might be something that it fits in with prophecy, and in some ways quite interesting. So here's two or three quotations from various articles about Pope Francis and this ecumenical, let's get all the churches of the world working together I don't believe he'd actually do that. I think he'd end up being numero uno. But, for example, I'm quoting here, Pope Francis has also clearly demonstrated an ecumenical agenda since becoming Bishop of Rome. That ecumenical agenda includes Europe, Latin America, Eastern and Russian Orthodox, Africa, Asia, and includes Islam. Now that one's interesting. You can sort of imagine how the Pope might want to bring in the some of the Protestants and the Greek and Russian Orthodoxes, but Islam? Okay. Does Pope Francis intend to help the global elite achieve their goal of uniting all the religions of the world under a single banner? Will he be instrumental in establishing a single global religion for the glorious new age? It says, Pope Francis has made it abundantly clear that he is going to make ecumenical outreach a top priority. He has spoken of his, quotes, determination to continue in the path of ecumenical dialogue, and he has already held a number of very high-profile ecumenical meetings. And not only has he worked hard to reach out to leaders from various Christian traditions, he has also made it a point to try to acknowledge the mutual bonds he feels with other religions. For in one example, in a recent address, he made it a point to say that he believes the Muslims worship and pray to the one God he worships. Well, you know, I suppose if he's worshipping Satan, that could be the case. But carrying on, it says, if there is to be one world religion, there will have to be a bond formed between Roman Catholicism and Islam. That's one reason why Pope Francis has already said about Islam is very noteworthy. Here's his comments from the Pope. I then greet and cordially thank you all, dear friends, belonging to the other religious traditions. First of all, the Muslims, who worship the one God, living and merciful, and call upon him in prayer, and all of you. I really appreciate your presence. In it I see a tangible sign of the will to grow in mutual esteem and cooperation for the common good of humanity. So, interesting. 100 days isn't very long, it's only 3 months, but already this Pope Francis has reached out to a number of different religious traditions, including the Muslims, and he says there that the Muslims worship the one God living and merciful, the same God he does. So I guess we expect probably the Vatican to end up with a great deal of power across the world, and so a guy who's very keen on developing this ecumenical outreach, it ticks one of the boxes. Second point of the four is this Pope is very strong on the Virgin Mary and Mariolatry. Mariolatry is the worship of Mary, and as a former Catholic, I've experienced that because certainly growing up in the Catholic Church, I frequently prayed the Hail Mary, a prayer you'd pray dozens of times a day probably, to Mary, the Mother of Jesus. And you'd be taught as a Catholic that, yeah, sometimes God's pretty busy, and really, if you want to get Jesus' attention, not a bad idea to go via his mother, the Virgin Mary, because it's quite awkward to get to a lot of people, but their mothers are usually able to get to them. So go to Mary, Jesus' mother, and she'll be able to get Jesus' ear, a bit like at the feast at wedding feast at Cana. Jesus' mother said, whatever this guy tells you to do to the servants, do it. And so there you are, that's a good example. So I grew up with that, that's no problem to me. I'm quite familiar with Mariolatry and the worship of Mary, but the Pope, this Pope, seems particularly keen to promote the worship of Mary. And in a sense, that might be one way, this is my speculation, to win back the faltering Catholics, because lots of them do have a soft spot for Mary, and even some of the other religions. So he's really going to promote, it seems, the worship of Mary. So a few cuttings here to read. A particular priest believes that the prophecies of Malachi require the final pope to consecrate the country of Russia to Mary. It's an odd one. It says, Our Lady of Fatima, as one of the numerous apparitions, promised, look, this didn't happen, but this is what is believed to have happened. Our Lady of Fatima promised that if the Pope and bishops of the Catholic Church consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart, a period of world peace would follow, ushered in by the conversion of Russia. So that's what the prophecies state, that the Catholic Church must declare Russia for the Virgin Mary, and if they do publicly declare that, a period of great world peace will follow. Quotes, Pope Francis asked the Virgin Mary to, quote, grant us the health that she alone can give us, to be always signs and instruments of life, end quote. So the Pope wants the Virgin Mary to give us health. His message was given when he officially took possession of the papal basilica of St. Maria Maggiore in Rome, which is the oldest Marian shrine in the West. He said, quote, Mary is mother, and a mother concerns herself above all with the health of her children. She knows how to care for it with great and tender love. Our Lady protects our health. So this Pope is very keen on the Virgin Mary, Our Lady in heaven, and she loves us with the love only she can have, and she protects the health of her children. Pope Francis himself asked twice that his pontificate, you know, his papacy, would be consecrated to the Lady of Fatima. This article continues, a lot of Catholic prophecy indicates that Mary will be a major factor in bringing people to the Catholic faith, which will be a changed faith. There's another cardinal here. He talks about the Pope going to worship privately, and he says, there was no one in the basilica for security reasons. It was a lovely moment of prayer to the Virgin after offering her the bouquet of flowers. The Pope stayed a while praying in silence, and then we all sang the Salve Regina, which is Latin for, you know, Hail, O Queen. And yesterday the Pope said to me specifically, I want to go to pray to the Virgin to entrust my whole pontificate to her so that she will bless it and help me. So Mary, the apparitions at Lourdes, at Fatima, there's a possibility that's going to be one of the ways whereby the Pope brings in other churches, other groups, under the umbrella of the miracles surrounding, you know, Mary, the Virgin Mother. Well, okay, we'll see. Third thing that Pope seems to be very hot on at the moment is economics. He doesn't like wealthy countries or wealthy organizations. You might say, well, isn't the Catholic Church one of them? Well, sort of, but not too much. But he does seem to be very much for a poor church, for poor people. But equally, he's getting quite strong about other countries and their economics, and as he sees it, the corrupt, greedy corporations and the corrupt, greedy governments that aren't looking after the needs of genuinely poor people. And if you think about the fact that, you know, the final papacy, the Vatican in prophecy, will tie up with a leading economic power and dominate the globe economically, this may be the way the Pope's going to approach that, bringing in a certain type of, as he would see it, certain type of right values and moral standards into economics. That's how he might play it. A couple of quotations here. This is the third one, economics. Pope Francis has blasted economists, financiers, and politicians for a lack of ethics, rooted in a rejection of God, which has led to dire circumstances for the majority of mankind. What he's saying is, guys and gals, we're in a mess. And because you economists and politicians are basically greedy graspers, you have no values, you have no ethics, it's time to change. Continuing, in a speech given to a group of new ambassadors, the pontiff exhorted world leaders to look to God in order to design an ethical financial system that benefits everyone, quotes from the Pope, while the income of a minority is increasing exponentially, that of the majority is crumbling. And it continues, Pope Francis said the economic imbalance is due to ideologies which uphold the autonomy of markets and financial speculation, etc., etc. Pope Francis encouraged politicians in particular to change their attitude and take the lead in economic reform. So, bearing in mind that the end time prophecies talk of the beast and the false prophet working together and controlling economic systems, this Pope's interest in changing world economics, I think, could be of interest. And the last I've got, number one was ecumenical focus, number two, Mary, number three, the Pope's intrusion into economics, and the last one is exorcism. Exorcism, which was a cutting here. Question, is Pope Francis an exorcist? The question has been swirling ever since Francis laid his hands on the head of a young man after celebrating Mass in St. Peter's Square. The young man heaved deeply a half dozen times, convulsed and shook, and then slumped in his wheelchair as Francis prayed over him. The television station of the Italian Bishops' Conference said it had surveyed exorcists who agreed that Francis either performed an exorcism or a prayer to free the man from the devil. Now, of course, they're not admitting that. It says that the Vatican was more cautious, saying Francis didn't intend to perform any exorcism, but as he often does for the sick or suffering, he simply intended to pray for someone. And then it carries on, fueling the speculation is Francis's obsession with the devil, a frequent subject of his homilies. So Francis is very interested in the devil and may have, it says here, performed an exorcism. Let's turn to Revelation. Just quickly read a few verses, Revelation 13, and just see how some of these things we've commented on might just tie in with some of the prophecies. Should take us another 2 minutes, then we'll be over. Revelation 13, and reading verses 11 through 18. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, spoke like a dragon. So it looks like a nice, friendly, fluffy little lamb, but actually the words are the words of a dragon or Satan. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. This appears to be a combination of this church with the state government, which we suspect is a German-dominated Europe. Notice verse 13. He performs signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. So this false prophet, this other beast, performs signs and wonders to deceive. And here we have already in his first 100 days this Pope being associated with an exorcism, a sign which some people are thinking, oh, hang on, what's this, what power has this guy got? Well, we'll see how that develops. Verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Actually, not quite a nice guy then, is he, after all? And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, so that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Well, hang on. Nobody can buy and sell? That's economics. So this false prophet, this papacy, as we see it in this passage of Revelation, has an impact on economics, on buying and selling. You can't buy, you can't sell, you can't trade, actually you can't live, unless you have these various signs. So the fact this Pope is already talking about financiers, bankers, economics, right values, right morals, now what's he going to say ultimately? What should you do to be allowed to trade? What should you do in his eyes to be allowed to buy and sell. So maybe there's something behind that. Last verse, here is wisdom. Let him who has an understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man. His number is 666. Well, okay, so 100 days isn't very long, but this Pope on the ecumenical side, on the Mariolatry side, on his foray into economics and values and his possible experience with exorcism, he's shown some interesting areas, but I guess at this stage all we can do is say we don't know. He might be the final Pope, the one that ushers in the end of the age, or he might not be. So currently I'm sitting on the fence rather comfortably, and we'll pick this topic up if anything more specific comes out in the months to come. Okay, with that, brethren, thanks for your attention today. Those of you who are still hanging in there, I hope you have a good week ahead of you, and we'll catch you again next Sabbath. So from us here in England for now, goodbye.